der Impro-Podcast und vieles mehr.
Vielleicht, manchmal, aber oft mit Gästen.
Von und mit Janine Vasiri
und Carina Steger.
Bin ich immer noch? Jetzt habe ich reingeredet, Carina.
Guten Tag, Janine.
Hallo, Carina.
Ich habe mich extra so rübergedreht, dass ich die anschauen kann.
Das ist toll. Danke.
Cool. Hey, wie geht's denn dir?
Ah.
Hast du dich schon erholt von unserer wilden Dreijahresfeier?
Natürlich habe ich mich erholt. Ich bin bereit für die nächste. Und du?
Ja, ich auch.
Gut. Hat dich schon wer auf ein Bier eingeladen? Na, so lange ist die Folge noch nicht heraus, gell?
Naja, eigentlich, wenn die Folge, die wir jetzt und die dann jetzt rauskommen, ist,
dann ist sie schon ein
ist
Monat
eigentlich
heraus,
die Folge ja. schon einen Monat heraus.
Okay, ja.
Bis dahin würde ich schwer hoffen, dass mich jemand auf ein Bier eingeladen hat.
Ebenso. Ja.
Vielleicht schauen wir mal, wie es in dem Monat geht und dann schneiden wir das noch ein, falls uns wer auf ein Bier eingeladen hat.
Voll gern.
Cool.
Passt.
Passt.
Okay.
Magst du noch was erzählen?
Du?
Na.
Okay, sollen wir diesmal einfach direkt anfangen mit der... Spoiler auch. Ich meine, kein Spoiler, sondern Vorbereitung.
Warte, wieder um.
Ja, für unsere HörerInnen. Wir reden heute wieder auf Englisch, weil wir haben eine wunderbare...
Englische.
Weil wir haben eine... Jetzt fangen wir, haben gesagt, wir fangen an und ich werde nicht verarscht. So.
Jawohl.
Wir haben eine wunderbare Gästin aus... Woher?
Wir kennen sie seit 2019 heute.
Richtig, seit 2019 heute.
Das war aufgelegt, dass du mich zurückverarschen kannst.
Ja, sicher,
dass wir
wieder, danke.
Ausgeglichen sind.
Danke.
Wir kennen sie von unserem letzten internationalen Impro-Festival, das wir veranstaltet haben. Ich mache das jetzt total schnell. 2019, Dog and Fish, war sie bei uns mit ihrer Spielpartnerin Mona. Ja. Aber heute bei uns, zugeschaltet aus... Correct me if I'm wrong. San Francisco, I believe. Welcome to the podcast, Shara.
Hi, Shara.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi. Are you in San Francisco?
I do live in San Francisco. At nice. This moment, I'm staying at a friend's house that is not in San Francisco, but that is my home base.
Right. Okay. It looks actually very nice. I see it looks like a nice patio with an outside area.
Oh my gosh. It's such a nice house. This is actually I'm staying at my friend's house and she's my clown partner.
Ooh.
And this is the house that her grandfather built. And she just has kind of like through a series of events and inherited or at least she can live here. It's not like she doesn't own it, but
okay.
Yeah, and it's really nice because it's very unusual for, I would say, my friends in our 30s to live in an actual house.
Yeah, I get that.
Very luxurious. Yeah.
It's so nice to see you again. We haven't seen each other since 2019.
Oh, God.
No. sorry. I'm so sorry. In one other episode where we talked in English, I prepared our guests that my English will get worse and worse the longer I talk. Just so you know, it will get Perfect. More like Arnold Schwarzenegger the more I talk. Yes.
Also like Perfect. The deepness.
Also like what?
The pitch.
The pitch.
Like, yes, it will get like this.
Okay. You know, he was the governor of California once.
I know, so. I know.
Ah, there we go, yeah.
It's not a bad thing to sound like him in that aspect.
Yeah, and he visited Styria recently.
That's true.
Sorry, I'm drifting off. Sorry.
Yes. Okay,
sorry.
Let's ask Sharon.
Sharon, first question, we just now go into it like pew, pew, pew. Sharon, what got you into improv?
Okay, so what got me into improv was actually my sister's now husband. So I am the third of three children. My sister's 5 years older than me. And she went to Stanford. And then she met the love of her life, Josh. Her name is Jenna. And he
Josh
was an improviser.
And Jenna. Sorry.
Yes.
Shout out to Josh and Jenna.
Yeah, shout out to them. And he was an improviser. He was a part of the improv group on campus. And 5 years later, I ended up going to Stanford. And Josh was like, you should take this, you should take the beginning improv class. I think you would really love it, and mm-hmm. you should get on the team. And mm-hmm. I was like, okay. And so I took the class and I loved it, and I auditioned and I got on the team. And as an undergraduate, I never performed because it made me so nervous. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, I'm not going to do this. And then I eventually came back to do like a master's, and the team at that university was like, once a simp, the name of the team was Simps. Once a simp, always a simp. Mm-hmm. And so I met somebody who was in the improv group just randomly in a class. And she was like, you should come back and like be a part of the group. And I was like older and more confident and wiser. And I had heard people who had been a part of that group be like, improv changed my life. Like, it's the mm-hmm. single best thing I've ever done. I'm so glad I did it. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to like dedicate myself to getting over stage fright and like do it. And so I just did a bunch of shows and I got over it. And then I got to like love it. And it became a huge part of my life.
Very nice.
So I guess SIMP stands for Stanford Improv, something like that?
Exactly.
Carina <Karina What>? Is celebrating with Sorry. Her arms up.
Wow, yeah. That's what I like to celebrate about. Easy things. if I may ask, what did you study then? If that was that improv kind of an extracurricular course that you could do at Stanford? Or how did mm-hmm. that work?
Yes, it was, I forget what, an elective class. And it was one of the classes with like the biggest wait lists. It was really hard to get into because mm-hmm. just the reputation was it was really fun. And like it was very applied improv. So it was like, yes, you were playing lots of games, but it was also very related to like, how can you bring improv into your life? And like, how are the principles of improv? Like how can they make your life better?
Nice.
Yeah, and so I was studying environmental science, and I did that on the side, yeah.
It sounds very smart.
I didn't end up in environmental science, by the way, but I did study.
And very, is it an Ivy League uni, Stanford? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have smart people here.
Yeah, We have very smart people here. One people is in not here, not you and I, Janine.
Yes, not us, no.
Shara. Continue.
Yes. I mean, wait, I would also always say that the college process in the United States is very messed up. So,
yeah.
You know, it's like based on privilege, legacy, mm-hmm. Money, opportunity, and... So I think anybody can be very successful at that university, but there's just so many barriers to people
yes.
who would be incredibly successful to getting into it.
Right. Yes. But still, they have a very nice elective, which is improv.
Yes. Exactly.
And how did you get to meet Mona, your improv partner?
Oh my gosh, Mona! So she was also a part of Simps. Mm-hmm. So she was like 2 years younger than me. And I was, I think, graduating as a senior from undergrad when she joined mm-hmm. the group.
Mm-hmm.
And so we didn't totally bond. And then when I came back, she had already graduated. So when I came back to do my master's, she was gone. But then we ended up in a random series of events living together in San Francisco. Room in her apartment. Yeah. A room in her apartment opened up and I was like moving back and somehow like in the Simps network, we found out that we had matching needs. And so then she had almost given it to somebody else, but then she was like, oh my gosh, yes, come live here. And so then I moved in and we lived together for like 4 years and we're part of that same improv theater and then formed our own group. And that's how we came to you all eventually.
Ah, cool.
Mona and Chera do improv. That's how we got to know you.
Yeah. And if I may ask, do Mona and Chera still do improv?
Oh my gosh. Well, we are definitely still very, very good friends, mm-hmm. and we talk on the phone all the time. But Mona has since 2019, she has moved to Washington, D.C., across the country from me. She got married. She has two kids, mm-hmm. one of whom was just born in March. Mm-hmm. So she is, like, very busy. But we did... Was it last year? Yeah, I think last year we did manage to go to an improv festival and perform in Rhode Island at the Ocean State Improv Festival.
Nice.
Which is a really, really lovely festival for anybody who's looking for a lovely festival. And yeah, and so that was like a real delight.
Oh, cool.
To just feel the magic again.
Yeah.
For briefly. Yeah.
Sorry,
you go.
Okay, then you go.
Okay.
in preparation, when we talked before we started recording, you said that you stopped playing improv regularly since the pandemic, since COVID. But before that, you played regularly and with Mona, right? Or were you part of different groups, or was your main group, Mona and Shara, do improv?
So we were both, so Mona had been a part of this theater when I moved in called Unscripted Theater in San Francisco, and mm-hmm. they did kind of like narrative long form improv. Mm-hmm. And she kind of generously brought me into that. And so then we were both members of that theater for until she moved in like 2018. And I was still a member until 2019. And yeah, so I think that was our main home base. And then mm-hmm. our Mona and Shara Do Improv was kind of like our traveling duo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. And so what I've heard or what I get is you played quite a lot of festivals then?
Yeah. So Mona is such an adventurous and cool and organized person. And so she like has these ideas and then she's like, Shara, let's do this. And I'm like, okay, tell me what to do. And so like in 2017, she was like, let's do a road trip around the United States. And I was like, oh my God, let's do it. And she was like, great. This is all the logistics that we have to figure out. And it's like, okay. And weirdly, we organized it around the Ocean State Improv Festival. So that was the first year it was happening. And it was like in early June. And we were like, okay, great. We just have to make it from San Francisco to Rhode Island by that date. And like we like plotted our route around the United States. We did a huge circle. Mm-hmm. It was like a 10-week road trip. And we performed in like 26 theaters and taught.
Wow.
Performed. And this is like, yeah, it was like Mona's just adventurous dream. And then she's kind of a person who like makes stuff happen.
Like rock stars.
Yeah.
Did you have a tour?
I mean, it was totally, yeah, it was like totally a time where you could just, like we had connections to improvisers in San Francisco, who had connections to, you know, everybody, because mm-hmm. the community is so small and like generally very kind and generous. And we made absolutely no money, but we like broke even.
See, but that's very good. If you break even with a road trip that size, I think it's very good. Yes. Well done.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's also
one of my favorite memories.
I think we did this, Karina and I, and also a lot of our friends. It's not about the money; it's about playing improv.
Yeah.
It just shows how much the passion lies in that theater form.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yes.
And to do such a road trip with improv, I mean, it's amazing. Congratulations to you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I know, it's like I'm very grateful to have met Mona, because I don't think my improv career would have mm-hmm. been as like joyful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Think, yeah.
Without her. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the pandemic came, and since then you don't play improv regularly, right?
Yeah. So when the pandemic happened in September 2019, I left San Francisco to go to a physical theater program in like Northern California, which ended online in 2020. And I was back in San Francisco. And yeah, I don't know how you all experienced the pandemic, but it was like being in theater and the arts and in like in-person artistic endeavors, everything shut down. And I was like, I don't know who I am. Like, it was the first time I hadn't performed regularly in like, you know, 5 years.
Right.
And like felt that energy and like felt, I don't know, like my own identity within that. So it was really sad and depressing and like very, I felt very lost. And I think since that, I like kind of pivoted and I ended up like doing a master's in drama therapy to like become a therapist. As, 'cause in my mind, I was like, I want to use stuff that I know, but also perhaps have a slightly more stable job thing to be a part of. But I think also within the pandemic, it's like there was something about 2019 Shara where it was like, yeah, I'll have three jobs and like go to improv practice twice a week and do shows on the weekend and like my endurance and my physical ability will allow me to do that. And like the pandemic, I think, just like made me so much less able to do a lot of things.
I absolutely understand.
I would totally agree. Yes.
The same thing happened to me. Also, we talked about this before. Anyways, it's not important when. That I'm still getting used to crowds and stuff. It's such a long time ago now, 3 years, but it still stresses me out. I'm not as open and flexible as before the pandemic.
And also, I think for me, it also to a certain point comes with age as well, because I think what you said is a...
Yes, I agree. That's why
it's a very valid point, because I think also 2019 me was like, as you said, I can do this, I can do that, I can work, I can play, I can do workshops, I can visit, I can go to workshops, I can do everything, everything. And if the day has 24 hours and I use 23 of them, it's fine. And now, like in my mid and 30s, I'm like, oh, it's okay if I have a afternoon just on the couch, just lying there. It's fine. I don't have to do anything. But at the same time, I miss it a bit.
Yes,
you know,
because
I,
yes. So can you explain to us what a drama therapist is?
Yes, yes. And also just thinking about what you just said.
Sorry, I switched the topic again. I'm sorry.
No, it's totally fine. I'm really excited to talk about that. But it's like just so, like I feel like I have a number of artists, theater friends who's like, I want to get back to that 2019 self and life. And it's not happening. And it's like a real, I feel like I still haven't totally grieved the fact that I will never get back to that level of like creative engagement and like deep love and passion of improv. And maybe that's very pessimistic, but it's just like, it feels like looking at my future, like I just don't see that. And the state of the world and arts and funding and all of that, like coming from the U.S., it's like a, such a, I mean, that's a whole other thing. But
we have a like expletive language warning on our podcast, so you can curse. So never mind.
As much as you want.
As much as you want.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we have a, oh my gosh, just fucking shit show. And it's a part of everything and every day. And it's, I think, one reason why I started going back to improv classes, because it's like I just need to feel joy and laughter, like just physically for my nervous system. It's essential right now. But But yeah, I don't know. That was very rambling.
But is it okay if I ask Janine and if we drop to the drama therapist just for a moment?
Yes, because I want to talk about that also longer, yeah. Yes.
sorry.
No, it's perfect. I thought in the same ways.
Oh my God, Janine.
Yes, yes, yes.
Two minds alike.
Yes, two minds alike, yes.
Oh, wonderful. Yes. You will edit this out, right?
No.
Okay. No, so you said you're going back to improv classes. How does that feel?
Oh, no. I wanted to talk about something else before that. Is that okay?
Oh, yes, of course. Sure.
Because I just wanted to add to what you said, Shara, that I cannot understand how I did it before the pandemic. If I imagine myself going around like that, I even the thought makes me exhausted. And now just recently, like this week, I had the feeling I want to start again. But not in the same way, because I cannot do that anymore. But just it made me so happy to have this feeling again. I'm ready for it now. I want to do something. Mm-hmm. That's just what I wanted to say. And now ask your very intelligent
Which
question.
Is also along the lines of my question as well. Yes. Yeah. Because I'm also thinking of maybe, because we talked today about that on the balcony.
Yes, true.
If I may start again. And also my therapist, who is a drama therapist, said, yeah, well, if you have a good feeling in doing something, you can try it. Why not? Mm-hmm. Why not try it again?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so back to my question, how was it for you trying improv again?
Oh my gosh. Well, similar to you, Janine, like I had that feeling of being like, you know what? I think I can put effort into leaving my house and like being tired because of a thing that feels necessary to me. So yeah, I was also really happy to like have that inner motivation and feeling come back. And it feels really interesting. It's like, so I went to one theater in San Francisco, and I'm not gonna name that theater, but it was like, it just didn't totally connect with me, like their style and like kind of the teacher and even the space. Like it was just like very dark and there were no windows, and I was having a good time, but also it just felt like this, the cohesion of the class was like not very, I don't know. It was just like, I'm gonna try. I was gonna do it the next series in that at school, but then they didn't have enough people to fill the class, and so then I had heard of this one across the bridge in the East Bay. So there's San Francisco, and then there's the East Bay, and there's bridges that connect all these places.
Yeah.
So I went to the East Bay, and it's like a theater that's like very. It's like woman owned by a woman, and it's like very queer and like inclusive and feels like much more diverse and kind of like an alive community. And I was like, oh yeah, I'll try it because there's a class that starts like right after this one ends. And so then I went, and like the class was just like so much more what felt familiar to me, of just like very physical and like silly and exuberant in a way, where it felt like the other theater was like very intellectual and like mind based. And I think it feels really great. And then like all these improv feelings come up that I even had when I was doing it, but of just like insecurity a little bit, or just being like, oh, I want my scene to be really funny, and then being like, oh my God, it was not funny. And it's like, oh, that's really unhelpful to think about that while doing improv. And, and then be like, oh no, like let's just have fun. And then be like, oh, it doesn't matter. But and then I think also going back and having been a teacher of improv and like being a student again and just like really like trying to bite my tongue and be like, okay, this is just a class and we're just having fun, and it's okay that we're just having fun, even if I have notes that I want to give people, and just say yes to the offers, just say yes, don't fight about it, just say yes to the offer. So like that's also an interesting thing. But yeah,
I think
overall it's like yeah, if I miss a week, I feel it, you know.
Right. So. Yeah. And what I found very interesting is that kind of intersection of your improv self that's been there for quite a while.
Yes.
And also for that, in a sense, new self.
Yes.
That goes there, which is still influenced by that old self. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Because I totally
get it.
Me too. I also took a class with our lovely former guests, Georg and Sebastian. I did a class that they taught. Yeah. A very lovely improv players from Vienna in Austria, Shara. And I had the same exact thoughts. I went there and I had pressure to be good, and then because I played improv before and I know this is not the way you think about it, I tried to stop myself, and then I got in my head more and more and more and more. Yes, and I had to learn to, I still have to learn to, if I play improv now, my head is very in action, and I have to learn to get out of that again. Are you laughing
it's
at
really
me? No. Okay.
No.
Sorry.
I laughed about the head comment because it might sound a bit weird.
Really?
Only to me.
Okay. Okay. Sorry, Shara. You wanted to say something.
Oh, I mean, I just, yeah. As you said, I very much relate to that. And it's like, it's so interesting, like the performance thing. It's like, some of the best improv, I feel like the best I've ever seen has been like in practices, you know, where it's like there's absolutely no, even though, yeah, I still have this pressure to like be good in practice, but we did a class show and that was crazy. It was like, I was performing what, like 3-4 weekends a month for like years. And so it was like so normal to perform, and like I felt, you know, it's like time is different when you're performing, and it's like I could be in that flow of time and it slows down and like make decisions that can like feel really fun and exciting because my muscles are so well oiled. And then like doing this class show, I was like, what has happened? Like, I was like on the side like, oh, I have an idea, but no, they're already doing something, I shouldn't do that. And like, I was just like, oh my god, I haven't felt like this in like 10 years. So yeah there's like the classes, and then it's like doing the show. I was like, oh no. And it feels hard to find that regular performance thing again. Like, I don't know if this is the same, but like in improv schools, at least here in the Bay, it's like you tap out to your top level of classes.
Right.
And then what do? Like, it's hard to perform. I guess you can go to regular jams, but
But what I really love what you said is that if you miss a class, you feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And also that you find joy in it again. So it sounds like it is I don't want to say helping you, but it just feels like it's good that you're doing it and getting back on the improv horse, so to say. Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. And I'm sending you good wishes as you start trying to find
thank
what
you
works
all
for you.
Yes, you too, Karina.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Maybe.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yes.
I know, you're together. You can even do it together.
Yes, I know. I know that. You tell Karin.
I know it too. Okay. Back to you, Shara, now. What I wanted to ask before, do you kind of felt like the first day at school again when you came back?
Oh my gosh, yes. And I joined, this was a theater where you could like kind of skip the beginning levels if you had experience. And so I was like, okay, I'm just gonna skip. And so I entered into level 4 out of 5 levels. And so this class was full of people who had kind of, they had picked each other up in the previous 3 levels. Mm-hmm. So they've been doing it for like almost a year. So they like knew each other really well. And it completely felt like a first day in school. Like, I come in and I'm like immediately sweating a lot. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to sit over here in the corner and I don't know who to talk to. And then, and I was always late because I live in San Francisco and the class is in the East Bay. And because of traffic, like, I'm just always late. So I'm like walking in and there's like no time to chat with people. And yeah, it's interesting to do improv in a place where everybody knows each other and you don't know them, because improv is also feels like so based on trust.
Yes.
And like, you know, knowing people a little bit at least. So you can, I don't know, like, it's unconscious, but it just is easier to make decisions when you know people. But yeah, like any relationship building over time, I got to know people more and they were very welcoming and like added me to the class signal or whatever. And were like inviting me to all these events. And yeah, I just went to one of their birthday parties last night. So it feels much more like comfortable and fun. But we're in level 5 and our class show is on Sunday. So it's going to be over and I don't know what will happen after that.
Do you feel the wish to be in a fixed group again like you had before?
Yes, I do. I do.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's you really got back into it.
Yeah.
Okay. At least my once a week cadence.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, I need this.
Yeah. And what I have to say, what I also find so cool is that you, I think giving up is not the wrong word, but I can, since my English is also not so good, I can't think of another word. I liked, or what I really admire, is that you didn't give up in quotation marks when the first try again didn't work out that well. Yeah, so you said, okay, that didn't work, I choose another one.
Yes,
maybe if I want to. Yeah.
Yes,
I really I find that very cool.
Me too.
And I think it also, you can correct me, Shara, it also shows that you still have lots of love for improv.
Yeah, I do. I feel like I'm, I don't want to cry on this podcast, but it can happen. I don't know. But I do, it's like, it is interesting to also... Because, yeah, I feel like in 2019, it was like I was so steeped in it. And I was like, let's dissect this format, or like, let's try this this style of improv, or like, let's practice space object. Let's do all these things. And like, coming back to it, it like feels very much of just like enjoying the basic a lovely feeling of just like building something with another person that makes us both laugh and like it just feels so good.
If I may, Janine, didn't you have the same experience with your new, because Janine, you must know, Shara plays maybe 2 times a year.
Yes.
And I remember you telling me also that it's the constellation of the 3 people.
Yes.
Like the setup, who they are.
Yes.
And also that you like playing for fun.
Yes, we have such fun with each other and it's so easy. And that it's actually, it's really only twice a year, maybe 3 times. But when we get together, I really have a lovely time. And until last week, I thought, this is fine for me. Let's play 3 times a year. And now I'm getting the itch again. Yes. The improv itch.
What do you think that itch is for you?
Well, It's like what you said. It's creating something together, and to have this feeling of closeness, the closeness with your partners on stage and in training situations.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know yet what I'm going to do with the with my pressure feeling. Like if we want to do more shows or if we want to be a little bit more professional again, this the thought of all the organization that is behind that that still stresses me. Mm-hmm. So I want to find a way that is that has the fun and the playfulness above it all. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, completely. Yeah, I recently had a friend, a conversation with another clown friend who's like starting something, mm-hmm. or maybe continuing this really cool like play-based social clowning interactive space thing. Ooh. In Oakland in the East Bay. And, you know, asking like, I would love for you to be a part of it, and feeling the anxiety of being like, I don't want to be trapped in something. And I don't know why. I don't know what this anxiety is about like committing to these creative endeavors, mm-hmm. but it's interesting. It's interesting. And I felt that like since the pandemic of being like, I don't want to be trapped. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want to be, what is it? I don't want to be accountable for things, because mm-hmm. it feels like my capacity is so much less than 2019.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think I am feeling like, I don't know, like particularly in the political landscape, like just wanting to commit my energy and self to more community endeavors, which are
mm-hmm.
theater based or not. And just being like, what else am I going to do? Just like sit at home? Like, do I have to do that now?
Yeah,
and that's like what I do. I'm like, oh yeah, I know I need like 4 evenings at home because like I gotta take care of myself. I'm just like, no, what am I living for?
You still can do that, but you can also go out.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can have both.
You can have best of both worlds. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's very, very interesting to talk about this, and I think it's also important to talk about it, because mm-hmm. I think a lot of people feel that way, and it's in Austria or in Graz when the lockdowns came, a lot of theaters, small theaters, closed. So it took away the base for many many players, and that's sad. I mean, the big theaters survived, of course, but for them it was also hard.
But I think also like in the improv scene that, as you said, was closed down, I think it starts to grow and blossom a bit year by year.
Yes, there are more new groups forming.
There are new groups forming. Yes. There are still locations that do improv evenings, and I think it's coming back still slowly.
Yes,
but it's coming back, and I find this very beautiful.
Me too.
Yeah.
And yes, and I find it also beautiful that Chera has found her passion for improv again.
Yeah. Yeah, me too, also.
And also, I know that we have to stop talking now because there's not much time left. No, but I want to know first, can you still say what a drama therapist is? Because I asked you the question and now the audience will wait for
it. Yeah, we just want to know, Chera.
Yes.
Yes, so drama theory. I guess Karina, you might know this as well.
I'm not
so
the therapist, Chera. I'm I not know. The therapist.
Indeed, but you have been intimately involved in it in a way that I even haven't, because I recently graduated. So.
I don't know. I can only say I like that form of therapy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And now you go, Chera.
So, okay. So drama therapy, the way that I think about it and understand it, is kind of like one of the hold on, my brain's like we've been talking for so long, you want to keep talking?
Yes.
There's just no words coming, so good luck. Yeah, so it's like kind of one of the measures of health in drama therapy is like the ability to play is like a specific measure of health, mm-hmm. in that in order to be a playful person, you have spontaneity and creativity. And like creativity is the ability to come up with new responses to old patterns. Mm-hmm. And then spontaneity is like the energy to act on that idea or to make that happen. And if you can have creativity and spontaneity, then you can be flexible in life and you can shift into many different roles that you play in life. Mm. And you can embody, you can continue becoming and embody your evolution as a human in like a more measured and playful way. Yeah, and there's like lots of different modalities to do that, but kind of how I understand.
Yeah, and I think maybe improv really supports this, right? I mean,
yes.
Yes.
Yes. Very nice summary, Janine.
Was that your segue to the? Can you make a segue to the lightning round, maybe?
Yes. No.
Okay.
Let's just do the lightning round because it's fun.
Okay.
Just and spontaneous. So and it's a different role that we take on in this podcast.
Lightning round. Welcome to the lightning round. I try reading my questions.
You always make fun of me for putting my phone away 5 meters from my face.
Yeah, no, it's just and like if I hold it like that, the mic is in front of my eyes, so I can't see.
Just remember that you make fun of me usually. And you
could
do
you
the
please
same
let
thing?
Me do no. the lightning round with
of
Sharon?
Of course
now.
I Thank can, you. I'm sorry.
Hello, Shara. Welcome to the lightning round. Which experience from your improv life has been burnt in your mind?
Oh my gosh, you know it's wild? So the last improv show that Mona and I performed before the pandemic was at the Dog and Fish.
No!
International Improv Festival. Yeah. And so that show is burned in my mind because Mona and I, we were like, we had been wanting to do this dark comedy thing. And we were like, okay, let's like do it at this festival. And that was the first time we had done it. We're like with that frame in mind of just like wanting to do dark comedy. And we did it and we had a great time. And after every show, we would always like talk about it and just be like, oh my God, you're really good in this. And, like, you're really good at this. And, like, the resistance. And so we did that and it's just like burned in my brain. And then also, I feel like during that festival, there were just like so many shows that are also burned in my brain. And I think we maybe that night, it was like the, I forget the name of their group, but it's, Inball and
yes,
yeah,
Zaki, yes,
Zaki, yeah, and like their show was friggin' like burned in my brain. So yeah, that experience.
Oh, cool!
That's such an honor.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm very happy now.
Me too. Next question. Which advice would you give to your improv beginner self?
Oh my gosh. I feel like the advice I would give to my improv beginner self. It's like hard to think about any advice that would change anything, because like I don't necessarily have any regrets about how it has gone. It's just unfolded in the way that it's unfolded, and like I don't know if I could have gotten over my stage fright earlier, because I just was like just a more anxious and like insecure person, and there would have needed to be a lot of changes outside of like just getting over stage fright. So I guess maybe the advice I would give, and maybe this is like what ended up happening, but just like keep trying.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Like it's I'm like all those people who are like, improv changed my life, and it's really beautiful.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's given me so much joy. So just keep trying.
Very nice.
Keep trying.
Yeah.
Which improv fail do you remember most vividly?
Oh my god. Okay, let me think for a second. Improv fail. Okay, this is what's coming to mind, but it's not, I don't know. It's like, I feel like feedback in improv is really hard. Mm-hmm. Like giving people you play with feedback, it can be challenging. Because it feels like improv is so, at least, and also in the US, there's like this culture of toxic positivity in a way where it's like, oh yeah, no, that was great. Yeah, yeah, no, you're so awesome. I love you so much. And it's like there's not as much room for like there's like not as much room for like honest feedback of that doesn't feel like conflict, I guess, or like that people don't take personally. And even like within friendships, it's like hard to, you know, talk about things that you wish were different.
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't, like, even if that thing is just about you, you know?
Mm.
You know what I mean? Okay, so I feel like there was a time where Mona and I did a show, and then afterwards I, like, immediately gave some feedback because I was like, I wish you, like, blah, 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 I wish this. And she was like, okay. like, we just had a fun show and you're just like already going negative about it. So I feel like that was an improv fail, but maybe that's just like a relationship communication fail. Choosing the wrong time and the wrong way to say something. and okay, ruining like a good feeling.
That happened to me too. Yeah.
Shanine is a very good feedback, constructive feedback giving person. I think you are.
I don't know seriously. If you mean this now.
No, I mean it. I mean it seriously.
Okay, thank you. But it also really directly after a show, don't start giving negative or
yeah, it's very hard.
Yeah. Wait a day or an hour
or
at
maybe
least.
One beer.
Yes.
Yeah. Is there, or do you have a character that you can rely on as an improv player?
That is so interesting. I feel like, for some reason, the way I learned improv is like, you can never do anything that you have done again. So it's like, if a character comes up, I could never be that character again. But As all people, like, I definitely have the personas and mannerisms that come up over and over again. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I have this voice, this improv voice now. I don't think I had it in 2019, but it's like, I think I did more clowning in the intervening years than improv. And so this like weird voice comes up and I notice it and I'm like, ugh, why? You know, like, why? Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, why am I talking like that? So it's like
it's
kind
of
this
a
like
voice
weird,
that you can rely
like,
on.
Clown. Yeah, except I don't want to rely. It's this voice that it's this voice that is like, I'm here, and I'm like, go away. Like, I need to be something different. But it's like I'm just like always like these kind of weird, like eccentric plants
Italian?
Or like characters or I don't know. No, like I know I did study abroad in Italy when I was in high school, and since then I think I touch people more and I use my hands more.
Tutto bene.
Yeah.
Which improv player does inspire you?
Oh my gosh. So there's a improvised. Did you ever meet Regina Saisi?
No.
No.
Okay. So Regina Saisi is a Bats improv player, and she, you know, has been doing improv for decades. Mm-hmm. And watching her is so fun because she completely commits. She mm-hmm. makes delightful, surprising choices all the time. And she's just one of those like magnetic, charismatic players where like if she's on stage, you're watching her. Even though she's like being very generous and like, you know, working with the players and everything. But she's like so in the world, it feels like, that it's like she's making decisions as the character and her improv self is really hard to see.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good. Adding to that question, with whom would you, with whom, not with, no.
You said whom.
Did I say whom or whom?
Whom.
Okay. With which person would you like to play improv or be on stage? It doesn't matter where that person comes from.
Mona.
Okay, Mona, if you hear that.
Oh, I think that's so nice that you said her. Aw.
Do you have a book tip for improv?
Oh. Well, the class that I took at Stanford, the beginning improv class, we read this book called the Improv Mindset? Hold on. The Improviser's Mindset? Let me look, because it's important for me to get this right.
It sounds familiar, though.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Not to me.
Yeah.
I forget things.
I also forget many things.
Okay. Oh, this is what it's called. It's called Improv Wisdom by Patricia Ryan Madsen. Okay. And we read that book in the beginning improv class, and she's the one who started the improv program at Stanford.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
cool.
She wrote this book, and it's like, you know, each chapter is a different mantra. Like, show up, say yes, other ones. And she kind of relates.
And many, many more.
Yeah. And she kind of relates it to life and how you can use those in life. Yeah. Nice. And she, so every 5 years, there's a Simps reunion, and she'll, like, go to those.
Oh. So nice. We put it in the show notes.
Yep. Is there, Shara, an improv format that annoys you or that you avoid?
I mean, it's, I think I don't do a lot of, I mean, in my improv career, the things that I have really loved are more like narrative long form based. And so like the short form kind of like really game heavy formats where it feels like there's not enough time to like develop the world and the relationships and the characters and find the gems and the like beautiful comedic situations within that. And it's just like, oh, tag in, tag out, here's like the surface level game that we're playing. Like those, I'm like, ugh. Let's take some time. Like there wasn't enough time. So those kind of are not my style. Yeah.
Okay. And I think we covered the second question as well there. is there a no. What would you like to try on stage that you haven't tried before?
So I feel like so there's this drama therapy modality called playback theater. Have you heard of this?
No.
Okay. So it's kind of like it's kind of like the life story. You know that? Have you heard of that thing? It's like a.
I mean, I heard of it, but I don't know if we're talking about the same thing.
Yeah. The thing that I'm thinking about is the Keith Johnstone thing where he would bring up an audience member and interview them about their life. And then like improvise off of that. I don't even know exactly how that format goes, but in in playback theater, like kind of the idea behind that is you have a teller, somebody who comes up and like tells a story about mm-hmm. their life. Mm-hmm. And then you have a playback troupe that kind of like improvises off of that, but in a therapeutic way where it's like kind of pulling out maybe unsaid emotions mm-hmm. or like reflecting back the strengths of that person in that story that maybe they didn't highlight for themselves, or mm-hmm. Just discovering more texture and resonances mm-hmm. within that story. And I feel like the thing that I'm really curious about doing in improv is like how to do that playback thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But playback, it feels generally like very heavy. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Like it can be light and it can be heavy, but it's like often quite emotional. And like, I'm just curious about how to kind of integrate that shared holding of somebody's story in like a lighter way, mm-hmm. or to just like have more, yeah, therapeutic / comedy in it. I don't know.
Did you want to add something, Shanine?
No, I'm just thinking that it's the lightning round, which is again a round now. I think that it's nice to see some improv sometimes that is emotional and a little heavy, you know, because the audience can go along with that as well. But I understand when you say how to bring this in a little lighter mm-hmm. Format. That's just what I was thinking about it.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your contribution.
Well, you're very welcome. Yeah.
What was the last improv show that you really, really, really enjoyed?
From the audience.
From as an audience member.
Yes.
I mean, again, it's like I think the last improv show I like really that really left a mark was Inbal Lori and Zakani. Yes.
Yeah.
And what was the name of their duo?
Improv with the Enemy, it was called.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Improv with the Enemy. I feel like that show made a mark on me for so many reasons. One, there was no video or photos, which is like really interesting in terms of improv itself, because it was truly mm-hmm. just for that audience that night, which is very special. Mm-hmm. And then also just the idea of like these two people from two countries that have conflict and they are there just like playing and having fun together, like mm-hmm. that concept is so like subversive and joyful, and like what makes me, you know, like think about the healing of the world in general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then their improv was so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a really good show.
I really liked it. It was also a great workshop that the both of them gave. Okay. Mm-hmm. Shera, what's your favorite warm-up game? Or do you have one even?
Oh my gosh. My favorite warm-up game. I mean, Metamorphic Circle. Probably.
Yes.
Is one of my favorites. And I have a friend, Jessia, who's also an improviser. We have been working with this group in the Bay Area of like, it's an activist group, and mm-hmm. it's called Mujeres Unidas y Activas. And it's mm-hmm. like immigrant women, created by immigrant women, run by immigrant mm-hmm. women, like has expanded over 35 years to like bring so many different services to immigrant women and their families in the mm-hmm. Bay Area, and is like an incredible organization. And we only recently have been a part of it, but we did that game, Metamorphic Circle, like with this group of women.
Oh, cool.
And it's like, we don't speak Spanish that well, and I'm like trying to learn, so I very much am grateful for you speaking English, because I know like how challenging it can be, and you all are so much better at English than I am at Spanish. But and so Yeah, it was like kind of just a party gathering. Mm-hmm. And Jesse and I did like a couple exercises. And the first one was like kind of hard because it had more explanation and it was like kind of hard to translate. And but then the second one was metamorphic circle. And it was like just so, afterwards I was like, God, like the magic of just playing together and laughing is incredible. Mm-hmm. Like, before it was kind of like everybody's kind of standing around and there was like kind of the English speaking contingent and then there was like the mm-hmm. Spanish speaking contingent and not that many people were like kind of, you know, mixing or socializing with each other. And we played this game and everybody was looking silly and laughing and playing and it felt like there just hadn't been that much laughter. Yeah. In a long time. And then afterwards, it was just so much easier. It's like, oh, we don't speak the same language. Whatever. We're going to like sit next to each other and work on this thing together.
Yeah, and it can work with hands and feet and whatever. Yes. And just to clarify for our listeners, Shara, a metamorphic circle is basically, if I get it correctly, where you stand in a circle, somebody starts with an impulse that might be a gesture or a sound. And it becomes bigger and smaller and bigger and smaller.
And it transforms.
And it transforms, so to say.
Yeah, like the way that we do it, it's like, somebody starts with a sound and movement. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the person immediately next to them tries to mirror it as exactly as they can to the next person.
Yeah.
And then through that process, it like transforms. Right.
Cool.
Yeah. And you incorporate mistakes and all of that.
Yeah,
as you,
Very nice.
Okay. And the last question in our lightning round. Do you have a special ritual before you go on stage?
I mean, the one I think about is the one that Mona and I would do. Because that's the last time I was performing improv regularly.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
We would put on a song and then we would mirror dance. So
we'd
put on a song and then we'd be like locked in. To each other and then mirroring each other's dancing and very much like nobody's leading. Mm-hmm. You're both following and just dancing. And it was like such a great physical and connective warm up.
Very nice.
Yes.
Aww.
So that was the lightning round.
Yes, a very nice lightning round. I'm sad it's over soon. That's why I'm making all these sounds.
Me too.
I'm sorry.
Me too.
But is there?
Yeah.
Is there
we still have something. Wait for the music. Cue music. I try to get the right cue. Tip des Monats. Which means for our English speaking and in America living listeners, tip of the month.
Yes.
Shara, do you have any tips for our listeners in the US in August
or from August
or from August onwards?
Yes. And remind me, is this the tip, is this just like a suggestion?
It can be an advertisement for maybe upcoming shows
or something that you want to share about improv that is a general tip or whatever comes to mind.
Okay, great. I would say my suggestion is for any listener to, this is something that I've been thinking about a lot, is that like community takes effort and energy. And it can be hard for me to, at this time, post-pandemic and, you know, losing a lot of community and a lot of that like energetic tolerance for to even socializing, that it feels like really, really important to me and also to what's going on in the world to make that effort. And the effort is rewarded in my mind like fivefold, tenfold, a millionfold to just like continue building relationships and like finding the thing that is passionate that I love to do or even that just feels meaningful in this moment and put my energy towards it because we're in for a really rough, rough ride. And I think at the moment it feels really important to like organize and get plugged in to your local resources, your local joys, your local communities that need your energy and effort.
Thank you. Yeah. Very good tip. Very good suggestion, listeners. Yep.
Yeah. It's a very nice ending also to this episode.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Shara, that you joined us on our podcast, and it was so nice to see you again.
Yeah.
I know. What a joy. Like, seeing your texts about this, I was like, oh my God. Janine and Karina.
Yeah, we were like, we'll try.
Okay.
Thank you for listening. No, you say something.
Thank you for listening. It was very nice.
It was very nice to talk to Shara.
No, seriously, Shara, yes. thank you so much for being part of the podcast. And maybe there will be a next podcast with Shara, because we have to talk much, 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 much more about much, 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 much more things.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we will hear each other in a month.
Yes, with another improv topic. We are very on improv at the moment. Yes, nice.
Yes, yes.
Yes, yes.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.